The Swaling, Part 67. Mr. Hong Gildong opened the double doors of the Lucky Saddle Craft Company's underground salon private gaming room to reveal a diminutive figure wrapped in a sodden pack-a-mac. A hood was pulled over the face to disguise their identity and protect them from the swirling storm in the streets above, which blasted across the channel from Indonesia, lashing Singapore. The new arrival clutched a newspaper. Those already present shuffled their seats along to make space for one more next to Mrs. Wong's client's box of instructions and accoutrements. Whoever it was sat themselves somewhat incongruously at the crangy table. The pack-a-mac even had sticky out ears, as if a Japanese cartoon character meant for a child. A zip came down. A hood drew back. In doing so, a familiar face was revealed dressed, like the rest of us, in full evening wear left over from the previous night's British High Commissioner's bash at Eden Hall. "Mr. Fitzgerald, lovely to have you here," said Mr. Dan. It was my neighbour from Dumfries Street, Covern, the journalist Paddy Fitzgerald, the Straits Star's ace reporter. He placed his paper down on the baize carefully, as if in fear of the reading and writing shattering into thousands of individual words. "Welcome to the auction of the millennium. Would you be kind enough to introduce yourself to the others and tell us who you represent? For your information, thus far we have learned Sir Julian Minsk represents the European Community, Mr. Worth, God, England, Her Queen and the Empire. Mrs. Clogg, the world's banking system. If I may, taking mention of herself as a cue," Mrs. Clogg raised an objection. "The time is past 7:19:23 a.m. We have started. Mr. Fitzgerald is too late." She was overruled. "The blind buy-in round has not been completed, Mrs. Clogg. Mr. Fitzgerald can enter the auction by exercising the option if he wishes." I whispered to her, "He's on a commission. He gets a cut of all the 2 millions. No doubt about it. The more the better, but goodness knows where Fitzgerald will find the spondulees, unless it's 2 million in discount coupons from his old newspapers," I quipped. Mrs. Clogg laughed too much at my lame joke. Her tanned blossom wobbled in over-exaggerated mirth within her royal blue dress. The girl was on heat. "Mr. Fitzgerald, it is up to you," Mr. Dan reiterated. "Excuse me," a voice came from behind the Wong Address Company's box. A little head emerged to one side. Mrs. Belinda Wong had been passed over. "You missed me out." Mr. Dan paused, pondering Les Riggles de la Table. "Did you understand any of the clues, Mrs. Wong? Have you been on Mr. Worth's rug?" He made a snarf-snarf noise. Mrs. Clogg took the opportunity for a touche. "You are too cynical, Mr. Worth. Our auctioneer is merely a sticker for—" She upped the stakes before the bidding round had even begun, Les Riggles de Guerre. "I am here at the allotted time," the business owner continued. "I have no need to decipher any secret codes. At the Wong Address Forwarding Company, we owe it to our clients to read every confidential material they trust us with. The least we can do for our treasured customers, it is part of the service, and rightly so. You'll be aware of a $2 million buy-in, Mrs. Wong," auctioneer Tan sneered. "Not such a cynic, Mrs. Clogg," I murmured. "Thought he wasn't going to get paid. Les Riggles de la Nature human, a wag might conclude." "Humane," she corrected. By now she'd kicked off her shoes and was stroking my calf with her heel. From her box, the plaintiff would be bidder produced a Wong Address Company carrier bag folded around something rectangular. She threw it to the middle of the table. "I am Mrs. Belinda Wong. I represent enterprise, hard work, capitalism, long hours, no holiday, no rules and regulations, pay in cash, please. Invest in U.S. Treasury bonds." Dan unwrapped the carrier bag to reveal a pale orange $2 million T-bond. A glint in his eye, he added it to the growing pile of subs in front of him. "Now it is up to you, Mr. Fitzgerald. My name is Patrick de Valera Fitzgerald, he began, his thick Galway brogue softened by the remnants of the previous night's Irish gentleman's measures of malt. And I am here on behalf of the global media, a free flow of information provided by impartial proprietors dedicated to truth. Muttering sounded around the table. Mr. Hong Gildong raised an eyebrow. Of course, agreed Mr. Tan with difficulty, but there is the small matter of the money. Mr. Fitzgerald tapped his newspaper. The mumbling intensified. Discount coupons? No, for the floor of the Canary's gauge. To be laid the for the spilts and the spilt seed. Mrs. Clogg leant too close to me, I could feel her breath upon my ear. On her afternoon off, our Clogg maids takes an assignation with her secret boyfriend. Her room is empty and this lady of the house is unattended and lonely. I can't quite reach the cage, Mr. Worth. It is dangerous to stand on a chair. I need a man to lift me. The secret of a happy canary is a good lay, Mr. Worth. When this nonsense is over, I must insist you oblige. Mr. Fitzgerald picked up the broadsheet and displayed an iconic front page. The tragic assassination of President Kennedy? An interesting piece of history, but only worth a couple of dollars to an obsessive or a collector, observed Sir Julian Minsk. Note the date, instructed Mr. Fitzgerald. Sir Julian squinted, 19th of November 1963. 3 days before the actual shooting, explained Fitzgerald. A telex lad in a bunker in Washington opened the wrong envelope and transmitted it to Singers. The rest isn't history. A freak accident in the print room severed tongues. 200,000 papers had to be pulped in a hurry. This is the only one left. If it fell into malicious hands, unaware of the deeper truth. He passed it to Mr. Dan, who gave him $500,000 change out of the kitty. Miss Kim, it is finally up to you. My name is Miss Kim Jo Long. I represent communism, the equality of all people in harmony with the mighty leader, his family and the Politburo. The North Korean assassin's commitment to equality extended to wearing a stunning $10,000 blood-red dress. Her neck and wrists dripped in gems. She smiled, showing a gold tooth embossed with a diamond. Putting her hand inside her modest cleavage, she pulled out a petite black pouch tied in the finest silver cord. 400 carats of diamonds, she announced as she handed them to Mr. Tan nonchalantly. No doubt similar to those she'd given to me as payment for an introduction to the mysterious and missing boffin, Mr. Stein. Synthetic diamonds cooked from base earth by the North Korean nuclear test program. Her appointment with Stein unfulfilled, she now wanted my diamonds back upon pain of my death. For reassurance, I felt in my pocket for a little something rouse. My own maid had snooked to me that morning that might save my life. That completes the buy-in round. Shouldn't the Americans and Mr. Lee be here? Wondered Sir Julian. Perhaps we should give them a minute? The Americans are too thick to understand the codes, replied Miss Kim. They have not, how do you say, depth of understanding. They see everything at face value. A Mersin rug carpet is a Mersin rug to them. They think my country's nuclear program imports dog food and tractor parts, as that's what's stenciled on the crates. As for Mr. Lee, I felt obliged to surmise. Having thrown an impenetrable electronic firewall around Singapore, I suspect he wants no part of whatever this is all about, or any of the other wayward wickednesses of a world that lies beyond his city-state. Amongst nodding from all present, Mr. Tan retook control of the room. We will begin, he shouted. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the auction of the millennium. He reached for the laptop Mrs. Wong's client had provided. With some difficulty, he pulled the lid open and placed it at an angle so we could all see. It sprang to life. Mr. Hong Gildong lowered the room lights. We were bathed in a gray flicker from the screen. Sir Julian put on his spectacles. I leant forward. Mrs. Clogg did likewise, in time with me. Mrs. Wong defined inscrutable. Mr. Fitzgerald laid back in his chair. Miss Kim glanced away from the screen as if in possession of some shamanic knowledge of what was about to happen. Although the face that appeared in the darkness was familiar, the voice was new to me. A flash of inspiration crossed my lobes. I raised my hand to capture the attention of Mr. Tan and prayed he would allow an interruption. It might save my life. To be continued. Copyright Always Worth Saying 2021.